Well, as Glyn said, we start a short sermon series this morning on spiritual gifts. And when we talk about spiritual gifts, a lot of people think about all those flashy things like prophecy and healing and tongues. But actually, there are some other gifts that don't attract so much attention, but are equally, if not more, significant in the life of the church. And the first one we come to today is hospitality. And then we've got encouragement and serving coming up in a bit. So the gift of hospitality is there in Scripture as an important part of the life of the church. And I wonder if you know the definition of hospitality. Hospitality is making people feel at home when you wish that they were. Or Oscar Wilde said, "Some people cause happiness wherever they go. Others cause happiness whenever they go." Or someone called William Dean Howells said, "Some people can stay longer in an hour than others can in a week." But the Bible says that hospitality is a key part of the life of God's people, a key part of what it means to be the church, to be the people of God. So you heard in our reading, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, 1 Peter 4 verse 9. But that's not the only place where it's mentioned. Romans 12, 13, in discussing what it means to be the people of God, what it means to love one another, what it means that God is giving gifts in his church, says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And Hebrews 13 says in verses 1 and 2, keep on loving each other as a family. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, that doesn't mean, in the context of the New Testament, of the context that the writer of Hebrews was saying in, if some person's walking past on the street or you're walking through Kingston Town Centre, you say, oh, come round my place for a meal. He's actually writing in the context of a church culture where people moved, particularly visiting preachers, moved from place to place. And there wasn't necessarily the kind of indigenous leadership, local leadership that we have. And so it was welcoming those Christians who come to you as they're passing through. And when I think about the gift of hospitality, my mind immediately goes back to my trip to Peru last year. Because in May last year, I went to Chaiwani, a village in deepest, remotest Peru, where the people had, in our terms, nothing. They had no savings. They had no spare money. They just had the bare minimum to live on. And they welcomed us and showed us amazing hospitality because we were fellow Christians. And so day by day, they fed us. In the morning, they brought us breakfast. At lunch, they brought us lunch. In the evening, they brought us a meal. And here we are, my group at breakfast with our salad, the one that caused me, unfortunately, 3 in the morning dash to the loo, but and our guinea pig and our potatoes and sweet corn. The bread was always a safe bet. But they fed us day by day by day, and they gave us the best that they could, the best that they had. One day we were invited to feast with others in the village at this thing called a pachamanca, where they built up this fire and filled it with potatoes, and there you can see beans and meat, and it was a feast. And we shared it, and lots of others shared it too. It was a special occasion because we were there, and they wanted to show us hospitality. And then a group of pastors came for a conference, and so we were sitting in the yard, the church yard, waiting for our first meeting to begin. And outside, some of the guys were killing a couple of sheep, and at lunch, we ate them. And I have to say, they were delicious. I've never eaten such fresh meat. But they made that sacrifice, because they wanted to welcome us and they wanted to give us the best. And then one day we went to see Lorenzo, the shepherd, up in the mountains. And immediately we arrived. We'd actually had breakfast. We weren't hungry. And two of us had dodgy stomachs. But out came the food. And immediately what they had, everything that they had, came out for us to eat. What they ate, we could eat. And they had no spare. We saw pretty much all their possessions, and there was virtually nothing. But whatever they had, they shared with us. They showed us the gift of hospitality. And you can see, this is me and John Coles, both looking decidedly green and shaky. And then lunchtime came, and out came the food again. Lorenzo's wife came up the mountain and opened her glorious, these beautiful cloths on her back, and out came, it was the same as we'd had at breakfast, because that's all they had. They had cheese, they had potatoes, they had sweet corn, that's what they offered. Everything they had, they offered to us, they gave to us. And Lorenzo told us a wonderful story, which made a profound impression on us wealthy Westerners. Some years previously, I've forgotten how many, probably 20 or 30 years previously, he had been afflicted with illness, a creeping paralysis. And in desperation, he went to visit his son, who lived miles and miles and miles away in Lima. It's sort of a day's journey. And went to the son's church. And at the church, he was prayed for and completely, miraculously, gloriously healed. And so, what he did was, every year, he killed one of his sheep, because he had no money, he had no savings, he had nothing else. All he had was his sheep. He killed one of his sheep, he took it with him on the bus. Don't think I would have liked to sit next to him for that day-long journey, but there you go. And he offered it to the church in Lima as a thank offering to God, to say, because of you, I was healed, I want to share with you. That's the gift of hospitality. These people who have nothing share everything. Or I think I was preaching last Sunday evening on the marks of a biblical church. And I was thinking back to, yes, that is me on the screen on the right, embarrassingly. It was a very long time ago. And yes, there was a caterpillar crawling across my top lip just as the photograph was taken. And I think back to a group of students who welcomed me into their homes. We were all in the same boat. We were students or just starting out in our working careers, and we had very little. But one of the girls who had a flat that was big enough invited 17 people round, and each of us, out of the little that we had, brought something. So everyone brought a bit of food, which we then all shared. Each of us brought a song or a poem or a story or a joke, which we all shared. And when it came to midnight, because this was New Year's Eve, we went on the balcony and watched everyone else's fireworks going off, because we didn't have enough money to afford fireworks, and we prayed the New Year in together. We shared our lives. And the girl who owned the flat, who rented the flat actually, who hosted us, is still a friend today. She sent me the picture last week. We've kept in touch. That's the gift of hospitality, sharing what we have together as the people of God. And last Sunday evening, I contrasted it with the church that I went to, which was my local church, where week after week I attended. It did get less as the year goes on, I confess, because nobody ever said anything to me, apart from the pastor at the door, who said, "Have a nice day, Gusundag," with all the sort of rich meaning associated with that phrase in English, you know, "have a nice day." It was that personal. That is not what the church should be like. They did have church coffee. You could go and have coffee afterwards, but no one ever actually spoke to me except people I already knew who are my friends from this group of students. So I'd like to suggest three ways in which we can work out the gift of hospitality in our midst. And the first one comes from that little story. Be welcoming. As a church, be welcoming. As Hebrews 13 says, keep on loving each other as a family. Don't forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, I happen to be fairly sure that we've got some visitors here today, people with us for the first time. I hope they don't go out of the door without someone having said, "Welcome. It's lovely to see you." The first time we came to this church, actually, we were trying not to let people know who we were, because we were looking at the job that was being advertised, a vicar here, but didn't want people to realize that. So we were trying to avoid being welcomed. But even before we got between those two doors, two people had stopped us and said, "Hello, I don't think I've seen you before." If I remember rightly, I'm pretty sure one was Di Newhouse, who many of you remember, and the other was Bronwyn Christie, who's still doing that wonderful job today. Then we managed to get through and sit down without anyone else nobbling us. And at the end of the service, the person in front of us, Glyn McCauley, retired accountant, turned around and said, "Hello, I don't think I've seen you before." And he pretty quickly worked out what we were doing there. But he was kind and didn't blab it. But we were so welcomed. And I long for this church to have that reputation, that we're a welcoming church. Not just the professionals, well, they aren't professionals, but the people who volunteered to do it, standing outside in the cold and handing you a news sheet as you come in. It's great that they welcome you, But all of us having that gift of hospitality, by turning to the people next to us, and I don't mean our spouse or our mother or father or whoever's come with us, but the person we don't know and say, hi, have we met before? And as I said the other day, it can't be worse than my experience when they say, yes, you said that last week. Don't say, hi, I don't think we've met before, have you been coming long? Because invariably they say 35 years. Be a church that's welcoming. When I was a layperson in the church in Cambridge, I always used to say, I was on my own, so I used to say hi to the person next to me. I had the most wonderful meetings with all sorts of diverse people. Friendships can start, which last a lifetime. So let's be a welcoming church. Secondly, let's be a generous church. Romans 12:13 says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. It's about sharing. It's about generosity. Again, I preached more on this last Sunday evening. If you want to hear more about it, you can listen to it on the web. But I think, for example, of Alex and Andy Bossom that we've been praying for. Alex and Andy have been struggling ever since Sebastian was born with all that goes with having a new baby and then with finding your new baby's very ill. And Heather has been inundated with people who said, I'll cook them a meal. In fact, more than we needed. And that's a wonderful expression of hospitality, of generosity, saying, yeah, we can help them out. We can do that. But it's not just, when I say be generous, it's not just being generous financially with gifts. It's being generous with our time. It's being generous with our prayers. It's being generous with our care for one another. It also means being generous financially. And over the years that we've been in the church, we've been blessed, so blessed, by people who've said, I've actually just had a little extra and I'd like to share it with you. So here's a financial gift just to encourage you and bless you at this time. We've been able, when we've had a little extra come in and we've known that there's a need that someone else has, to say, we know it's a bit tricky at the moment. We'd like to give you this gift. Sometimes people do it anonymously. That can be great too. But being blessed and blessing one another, sharing with one another generously. And also sharing expertise. We have in this church some people who are trained counsellors. And they're willing to share of their expertise. If others are in need, as Paul says in Romans, to say, yeah, I'll meet with you and I'll help you talk these things through, work these things through. We have people who are trained in budgeting. And we keep putting it on the rolling screens at the beginning of the service. We keep putting it on the news sheet. It's always on the website. That if you are struggling with balancing the budget, if you're struggling with financial issues, they would love to meet with you in total confidentiality. They've been trained and they've hardly ever been used. I don't know what the score is now, but it's one or two people in the year or so they've been running have actually asked for help. I'm sure that there are probably more people who could do with that help. But they're there to share if you're in need. And even if you're not in need, but you think, I need a handle on this, they would love to do that. Be generous with one another. And finally, be hospitable. 1 Peter 4:9, we had it as our reading, says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I missed telling you a little story earlier that I wanted to tell, so I'm going to fit it in here. Hospitality and the welcome to the church. Bishop Wallace Benn is the Bishop of Lewes in East Sussex. And he once went to a church without wearing his purple shirt and his big cross to show he was a bishop. And he sat there in the seat and a lady came up to him and said, excuse me, you're sitting in my seat. And he said, I'm sorry, I'll move. As he got up to move, she recognized he was the bishop. She said, oh, Bishop, I'm so sorry. You can sit wherever you like, of course. At which he said, Madam, your second mistake was worse than your first. As a welcoming church, we show everyone hospitality. Whether they're rich or poor, likely to be a really good giver who will help us out, or likely to give us nothing. Whether they look well-dressed or shabby, whether they're a bishop, or whether they're just an ordinary pleb like the rest of us. We show hospitality to all. Now, obviously, when we say hospitality, immediately our minds go to meals. And yes, let's invite one another to meals. Sylvester's not here today, he's in Sri Lanka, but he would love it if there were people who invited our students to meals. I don't know, those of you who've been students long ago and far away, you remember what it's like living in your student accommodation, eating kebabs and cooking beans in your little saucepan. It's so lovely. From my I was a student for 10 years, so I remember how wonderful it was to be invited into a real home and share the hospitality of someone's life. Could you do that? Have a word with Sylvester. Inviting one another to meals. Friends from the church, or even people who aren't yet friends but might become friends. I read this lovely story about a lady, Lady Milner, who was a philanthropist, but not a good cook. She hosted a lunch, and as she left the room briefly, one of the guests took advantage of her absence to pour his soup, to put his soup, which was undrinkable, down on the floor for the dog to lap it up. He heard Lady Milner coming back in the room, so he quickly snatched it up and put it back on his table before the dog had finished it. At which she said, "Oh, you haven't finished your soup yet. Please do finish it off. We'll wait for you." Invite one another for meals and go out the room for longer periods. We welcome one another into our homes. And I know that there are people here with that gift of hospitality. And they regularly, I won't embarrass them by picking on them, but they regularly invite different people round for meals. They invite people and mix them up and say, "Oh, I don't think so-and-so has ever met so-and-so. It'd be interesting to put them together." Not and see the sparks fly, I hasten to add. Let's invite them. And maybe you can't do that. Maybe you, because of your circumstances, you can't invite someone to your home. Because you share it with a non-Christian partner who wouldn't like that. Or because you can't afford to. Or because you know that they'd really not appreciate your cooking. But whatever it may be, well, you could take them out for a coffee. That's cheaper than a meal. You can take them out for coffee and cake. It's a little bit more expensive. Well, maybe you can't even afford that. Maybe you can't do that. Okay, well, you can get them a cup of coffee at the end of church. That's free. You could even bring them a biscuit, because that's free as well. It's showing hospitality. And we can all do that. And what the Bible says is that when we live like this, when we practice hospitality, the church becomes an attractive community. Acts 2, 43 to 47. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as they had need, the hospitality of generosity. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, hospitality, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and look at this, and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Because when we are a church that practices hospitality, that welcomes, that shares generously, and that is hospitable, people see it and say, "I already belong to that church." Not just because someone's going to give me a free meal, not just because they're going to be generous towards me, but because they see the generous spirit at the heart of the church, which is, do you know what? The generous spirit that it's the heart of God. You see, God is the hospitable host par excellence. God is the host who welcomes us to his table when we've got nothing. God, who is the host who welcomes us back to the home when we've turned our back on him and gone our own way, and says, "Come home, kill the fatted calf, let's have a party." God is the host who loves to be generous, loves to be welcoming, loves to be hospitable. And so if we're a church like that, we simply echo the welcoming, hospitable Father heart of God. And that will draw people not just to our church, which is a good start, but to him and to know his love for themselves. And that's what we're all about. So I leave with you with the thought this morning. Are you part of a hospitable church? Can you practice the gift of hospitality? Because there are some of these gifts that, frankly, we don't have. You know, I might not have the gift of prophecy. But hospitality is one that most of us can have, can develop, can use. Let's be a church that reflects the hospitable heart of God.